Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Marnie, and I'm excited to welcome you to a very exciting edition of Marnie's Friends. We're not going to do our typical guest on the call tonight. In fact, I'm going to be the guest on the call tonight. And we are hosting a complimentary holiday boot camp, holiday planning boot camp for you this evening. If you're listening to the archive, you'll be able to go ahead over to Marnie.com and download the notes that we're going to be talking about as a product over there. But just for tonight, this is being offered to you live through Treasured Woman Fellowship. They are a sponsor tonight. And our hostess tonight is going to be Karen Dishmas Yancey. And I wanted to just introduce you to her for just a moment. She is the executive director of Treasured Life Institute. It's a company that serves both the professional and personal needs of the Christian community. And through Treasured Life Institute, she offers certified life and business coaching, certified mastermind executive coaching, biblical counseling to women, and she is a certified Christian coach and Bible counselor herself in the areas of management, relationships, spiritual growth, grief care, parenting, marriage, and divorce recovery. She's also the founder of Treasured Woman, and that's what we're doing tonight, is joining together with the Treasured Woman Fellowship to share the Holiday Planning Boot Camp. Welcome, Karen.
Hi, Marnie. Thank you. What a sweet welcome.
Oh, and this is going to be so much fun. Most of the time during our training programs, we don't allow caller interaction. Tonight, we're going to make an exception to that, and we are going to invite you to call in your questions or your comments. Also, we have, if you're part of the Treasured Woman Fellowship group, you can enter your comments or questions over there. And if you're at Blog Talk Radio tonight, you can enter your questions or comments into the chat room there. So we're going to try to keep track of all this and keep ahead of you and get you some great holiday planning training tonight based on the boot camp material. And if you haven't already downloaded that, you can go over at Blog Talk Radio right now at Marnie's Friends. You can get it there, or you can get it over at Treasured Woman Fellowship. So, Karen, we were together this morning doing this. And
we had a great time, didn't we?
We really did. And we're going to, tonight, we decided to share it with our Blog Talk audience tonight, as well as the people who listen in afterwards over at iTunes and over at Marnie.com, the Leadership Attitude site. So we are going to progress kind of through the boot camp from front to back as far as we get. And we want you to know that over at the site, you can also listen to the small clips. So if you would prefer to do this in a self-directed fashion and just join us by phone or typing in a question or comment as you go along, that's perfectly fine. If you want to listen to us talk about it, I can just tell you that after the program, it's not possible for us to both chat and share with you the structure and answer questions and for you to get all the content. So if you do listen to us, that will be very fun for you and enjoyable, and you'll learn a lot. But I do encourage you that afterwards you'll want to go back and catch the audio segments that are available to you there. Before we launch in, Karen, do you have any other thoughts?
No, I just want to welcome everyone and say thank you for coming tonight and for investing your time in this opportunity that Marnie's given us. She's very blessed, Treasured Woman, tonight and today, and we just want to thank her and tell her how much we love her, and so grateful that she is a part of Treasured Woman, and we're all looking forward to our really wonderfully smooth operating Christmas with her blessing. So,
right, and with of course keeping the focus on that is the reason for the season, and we get so carried away with all the hubbub and all the preparations, and especially for girls, it's for us, it's a lot of extra work. Oh my goodness, there's so much extra work at Christmas time, and it's easy to lose focus.
True, so true.
Well, I think, Karen, I'm going to let you lead the way from now on, and I'm going to be the guest tonight, and you be the host, okay?
Okay. Well, I've posted on Treasured Woman the PDF format for the boot camp, and that the ladies will want to download that and keep that so they can go back to it, and the site that's on there as well. So we're going to run through the program tonight, I think, and we'll let Marnie explain the areas that we're talking about. I think the first thing we need to do is to talk about that holiday balance wheel. I was working on mine this afternoon. And Marnie, maybe you can explain that a little bit to the ladies.
Absolutely. So what's the Holiday Balance Wheel? And again, you want to be looking at the, you want to be down, have download that that file right now so that you can see what we're talking about. But the Holiday Wheel is just like a wheel with spokes in it. And there's eight spokes here, and they are the eight, what I'm calling the eight holiday zones that can cause us some stress. Ideally, they cause us a lot of joy and a lot of happiness, but if they aren't managed properly, if you aren't aware of where your trouble spots are, they can really cause you a lot of stress, and it's unnecessary to have all that. So we're just going to have you look at this wheel, and each spoke has a title next to it. So the top right one from 1 to 1:30 is like the holiday traditions and events, and then from 1:30 to 3 p.m. on your clock, if you were to say it was a clock face, it's personal time and rest. And then the next one is personal diet and exercise, and then like from 4:30 to 6, it's healthy family meat. The next one is Christmas cards and letters. Then we have over from like 7:30 to 9, we have tree and home decorating. The next one is gift ideas, budgeting, buying, wrapping and shipping, and the final one is holiday meals and party hosting. So what you're going to do is you're going to give yourself a little score in each of these spokes, and you're going to say, if I were to say that I feel really confident going into this season that I'm going to be able to manage this really well. So let's just take personal time and rest, for example. If you are coming into the holiday season and you're remembering last year and the year before and the year before, and you're thinking, you know what, I always get enough rest during the holiday. I always have enough time to take care of myself during the holidays. Then you're going to give yourself a 10, and you're going to say, I feel really confident that this year won't be any different than last year. It's going to be great. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to get enough rest. I'm going to have a good time. But maybe you think back on Christmases past, and you're like, wow, that does not describe me during the holiday season. During my holiday seasons, I'm exhausted. I just get really run down. In fact, by the end, I'm really sick even, and I'm grumpy, and I just don't like it. I don't like how I feel. Well, then you're going to give yourself like a 0 or a 1 down there. So just go ahead through each of these categories, and you're just going to give yourself a score. Now, this score isn't going to be used for anybody but you, so just be honest and figure out on the scale of 0 to 10, how do you feel going into the holidays about each of these zones? Now, if you were taking the boot camp separate from me, and I wasn't talking to you like I am right now, what I'd encourage you to do is go directly to the zones that have the lowest score. Tonight, for your benefit, we're going to kind of walk through this together, and then maybe afterwards you can go through and spend some more time in places where you had the lowest score over in the boot camp. And that boot camp page will only be available today as part of this, but you can always get a copy of it from Marnie.com afterwards if you miss it. So what we want you to do, though, is we want you to feel peaceful, feel calm, feel excited about all of these areas of your life coming into the holiday season. And the balance wheel just is a wonderful way to help identify maybe where the weak points are. And is that kind of what you, what happened to you, Karen? Did you see a couple strengths and weak points there?
Oh, I did. I got my highlighter out, and I went through it, because before I thought it was really just a progress report, like how am I doing on those areas, how much progress I've made, and I had like one line filled in. But I went through it, and I realized I had a lot of it filled in, and it showed me the areas I need to work on. I'm really weak in gifts, meaning I love to give them, but I have such a hard time determining what to give everyone, and I think that's the most tedious thing for me. I love to decorate. Menu planning is no problem for me. I got a background of events and travel was my profession, so I'm used to putting things together. But I tell you, those gifts were, that's the hard part for me. But it made me feel better because I got a looked at it and said, wow, I really have a grip on it. Here's what I need to work on, though. So it helped me focus, and I'm going to be focusing on that.
Great. And I think I want you to, too, as you're filling this out for yourself while you're listening here, you want to know that if somebody else filled it out, even, you know, kind of having the same skill level that you have and the same competence that you have, they may grade you really differently. That doesn't matter. What we want is you to grade yourself. And so if you're a real harsh grader, you're going to find that all of your spokes are way down in the middle or under, and you're thinking, wow, I'm such a loser. But, you know, somebody else maybe doesn't have any more skill than you, but they're easy grader on themselves, and so they have a 10, you know, or you maybe gave yourself a 5. So don't even worry about that. Basically, what you're trying to do is you're trying to identify where are your real weak spots versus where are the spots that you feel a little bit more comfortable. And we're going to work through that together tonight through each of these 8 zones and help you to understand a little bit about how you can get out from under the stress that's involved with them. Well, if
that's
we go to that next page.
It really does help you in a process of self-evaluation, shows you where you need to work on. So beautiful tool that you added. So we're going to go through your program, and we're on page 6, and we're going to talk about calendars and budgets and worksheets and things you provided there for us to lay the groundwork for our holiday. You've got some links.
I love the idea of putting things into your calendar now. In fact, when I did my boot camp myself in early November this year, when I went through it for this year and planned it all out for my own holidays, what I found was that there was only one Sunday available that we could have our staff parties, and it was the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Now, I would have never guessed that that was the case coming into the season, but that is the case. And so it gave me time to plan that then. And the only reason we can only have it on Sundays is because either our restaurant or our retail store is open every day from morning until night, except for Sunday afternoon after 4:30. So that's really the only time we can get our team together as a big group and have a celebration. So we've already had our holiday party because I took time early on to look at the big picture of the calendar. And what you're going to be putting in there is you're going to be putting things, as you go through the boot camp, you're going to be putting things in there like what day you're going to do your big house cleaning. And this may actually happen 2 or 3 times for you, depending as people come and go from your home for parties or for holiday weekends or whatever. But you'll have things on there like the day you put up your tree and decorate it. Maybe that's already done. Good for you. You might have a baking day or two. Possibly you'll have some Christmas programs that you know for sure are coming up. Maybe you have some family birthdays that you want to add in there. This calendar is going to be the place where you add all these things so that at one glance you can kind of see what's already really full, whereas where there's some open spaces for you to put in the extra things, like when are you going to do that shopping? You need to set aside some time and not just wait and hope you find time. If you have a calendar going on, you can really plan that.
Right, and your calendar is located on page 21, so that's printable, so the ladies can get print out their own calendar and put it in their binder and get themselves organized. Now, can I ask you this? When did you sit down to plan this? When was your good time to look ahead? How far did you go back?
It was early November for me. Early November. I did. And some years I've started earlier. But usually by mid-November, I like to have a few things settled. I like to have the main dates settled for myself so that I can just relax and know, okay, there's room to breathe here. And
right.
Another thing I like to have settled is I give one set of gifts that's a very I don't have a big budget for it. It's people that I want to remember, but they aren't like my immediate family or something. And so I have to keep the budget low per person. And that makes it difficult because it's actually much easier to find an expensive gift than an inexpensive gift. So I usually work on that very early, oftentimes by September, October, and I make sure that I have it nailed down by November, because those are the two areas that I know for me, if I don't do that, I feel stressed. And so it helps me to just have those two things nailed down. Now, for somebody else listening, you might say, well, that doesn't bother me at all. But what really bothers me is blank. That's great, then. That's what you need to know. And those things that really bother you, the earlier you can get them settled and resolved in your heart and your head, the better off your holiday experience is going to be, because the stress is kind of a subconscious, I call it like a shark or something. You know, you're swimming along and then all of a sudden, it just grabs you and takes you under and you can't breathe and you think you're going to die and all that. And so what you want to do is you want to just get the stress that you're aware of taken care of as soon as possible so you can really enjoy the holidays.
Right, right. Well, another thing we're going to talk about tonight is traditions. We all have ones that our family looks forward to and it depends on, and sometimes we have to prioritize them and determine exactly what we're going to do. So you've got a section in your boot camp that talks about that and helps you categorize them.
I do, and it is really so eye-opening to do this. I remember the first time that I did this, I realized that there were people that didn't even care, that we were doing traditions with our family that nobody cared about. I didn't care. None of my kids cared. My husband didn't care. The other people involved didn't care. And we were just doing them just because we'd always done them. So immediately I was able to just check that off. Okay, done with that. So
right.
That was helpful. And you may find something like that too. Almost more importantly is that you'll find that there are particular traditions that only a particular person in your family is invested in, that the only person invested is a son or a husband or whatever like that. And you may be tempted at that point to say, well, I just don't have time to do that if it's only affecting one person. And I'd ask you to just step back a little bit from that and think it through, like, if that was you and that was your favorite tradition,
That's right.
Everybody else didn't care but you cared, would you like them to just pull it? You know, and instead of that, look at different ways to go about accomplishing that. So possibly you would say, okay, so let's say it's getting the tree. Let's say that that's the tradition and only your son cares about it. Everybody else is like, yeah, let's just get a fake tree. Who cares? But he really loves that afternoon going out and getting the tree. So what you may do is you may say, you know, to him, you may say, you know, everybody else is cool with a fake tree, but I know that this is really important to you. So my question for you is it important every year? Is it important that everybody goes with? What about it is really your favorite thing? And
so
he may say,
you really have to investigate and ask your family what really matters to them. So it's sort of a communication builder as a family, too.
Absolutely. And you may actually find out that he really doesn't care about going and getting the tree at all. What he really likes is after you get the tree, the part where you come in and have apple cider together at the lodge.
Right,
you know, and you're
right.
Like, oh, we can do that. Let's just add that to our home, you know, tree decorating time. We bring up the fake tree, put it up, and then we all have apple cider and hang around and play a game for a little while.
There you go.
So I think what it does is it really helps you to identify which are the traditions that you want to be investing in and which are the things that you can let go.
Right, that's highly important. I know that.
And another,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was thinking another thing on this page that allows you to do is to estimate how much time it's going to take and to estimate the cost. And this is going to help you budget, like, where in your calendar you're going to put all these things.
Right, because a lot of times we think about the budget and we think only gifts. But really that really should put in that budget food, different plans, things we're going to make, what it's going to cost us, where we're going to go. It really is a lot more than just buying gifts.
And by the way, on the page before this, on page 6, there is a budget worksheet, a link to that. This is going to help you so much because there are several things. There is, in the holiday budget, there are gifts, there's the wrapping and mailing supplies, there's charitable donations, there's the tree, there's the decorations, there's the Christmas cards and letters, there's postage, there's meals and beverages for entertaining when you have people in, there's meals and beverages for entertaining when you go out, there's travel, there's family holiday wardrobe if you guys have photos taken, there's that. So there's all these things, and it's going to let you budget this, and then find a place, and it automatically adds it up for you, and then it leaves a place for your actual numbers, because you're probably one way or the other. Very few people actually budget these things exactly right. Either you are optimistic and you say it's going to cost $50 and it costs us $250, or you're pessimistic and you say I'm pretty sure it's going to cost $250 and it costs $100. You know, so I mean, hardly anybody gets it right on. But this gives you an idea of what and why I included the budget in here is because, again, if money is the thing that stresses you out each year, then this is the most important thing for you to do, to look at the budget and to say, you know, wow, I didn't realize that all this happened during the month of December. No wonder I can't breathe for January and February because I don't plan ahead for it, and it just slugs me every year. And then the next thing is the gift budget. That's on the bottom of the worksheet. You can see the tabs there. The
right.
gift budget is going to allow you to, and what I did here is I did it the way that I do my Christmas shopping, and most of the people that I've talked to do theirs. There's some exceptions to this, but most people have actual price ranges that in their mind, they have price ranges like possibly husband is in price range number one or wife, you know, and then maybe kids are in price range number two. And then maybe parents are in price range number three, you know, all sides of parents. And then you have maybe siblings and very close friends possibly in price range number four. And then you have a little further out. You have the people that you want to give a gift to, but, you know, they're not really your bestest friends or your siblings, but they're really close friends. And then you maybe have a price level six that are people that are your service providers or whatever, however you do it. Maybe you only have two levels. It doesn't matter. But most people have kind of a level. And so what the chart allows you to do, and it's Excel, so it will automatically calculate for you, you put the budget level in for whichever level you're working on right now. So let's just say it's for your spouse and or your significant other or whatever. And you put this price, this budget in, and you say, I'm just going to pick a number. I'm going to spend $200 on this person this year. Okay. Then you say, there's in column C, it says, how many of these are you going to have? So if it's a spouse, I hope you only have one. But if it's maybe siblings or something, you might have eight. So however many you're going to have. And then you add how much are you going to have postage? You got to add that. You have to think about that when you're buying gifts.
Right.
And then you
right.
have... In column E, it's going to be your total budget, and it's going to be a running total. So as you put these things down the page, you're going to be able to see how much this is all adding up to at this point. What's beautiful about this is, have you, Karen, ever been invited to one of those parties where they say bring a gift to exchange and the limit is
$15? Yeah.
Of course.
That's fun.
You go out and find a gift for $15, right?
Right.
Now, this is all we're doing here. So what happens when you look at the bottom line of this budget and you go, oh, my goodness, I don't have that kind of money. I cannot spend this much. Well, what you're going to do now is you're going to go up and you're going to look at each of those categories and you're going to say, okay, where can I cut here? Maybe I could cut $3 from price range number four. Maybe I could cut $50 from price range number one. And then you go back and you look at your bottom line again and you go, yeah, now that's getting closer. In fact, I think I could give a little bit more than this. It's going to allow you to really manage this instead of feeling like Holiday is managing you. It's putting you in the management position here so that you can make some executive decisions, you can have a balanced budget at the end, and you can enjoy yourself along the way.
Well, it helps you, too. For instance, if you know you've got to mail things to your family and friends out of state, the sooner you get that done, the less it's going to cost you. If you procrastinate, it's going to cost you a lot more, and you have less money to spend on gifts.
Oh, so, absolutely. Yeah.
Planning is so important. Okay, you've got some good tools there that we can download and use. So our Christmas boot camp binder is getting full, much fuller now. The next thing we're going to talk about is our personal time and rest during the season.
Karen?
Yeah, are you there?
Yeah. Can we go back and just finish off this worksheet real quick, the Excel one?
Sure.
Just in the budget Excel, just there's two more pages there. The one is the gift list worksheet where you actually write down the person's name, the price range that you decided on that other sheet, the due date, and this is really important. Like you said, the earlier you ship, the better off you are. But maybe you even have a different early due date. Maybe your due date is the first Sunday in December because that's when the whole family is getting together on that side of the family. So you've got these due dates that are going to vary from person to person. The next part is so important where you brainstorm ideas for everybody. And then you write down the stores that you need to go to. So if you're going to be shopping at let's just say a big box store or something like that, you can actually do all of those in one trip. That's going to save you a lot of hassle there. The final one, the final tab is called Gift Wrapping Station Supplies. This is huge, you guys. And when I wrote Kitchen Shortcuts, this is how I do my kitchen as well. You batch things so that you can save as much time as possible. And so in the gift wrapping station, what you do is you have all of these things together all in one place where you can, when you go to do it, you can actually start, progress, finish the wrapping process without any interruption, which is going to make it go so much faster. In the past, what done is you've run out of paper, or you've run out of tape, or you've run out of something, and then you had to go to the store, and you had to stop doing what you're doing, have to wait, you have to come back and do it another time. If you will just have all these things together before you start gift wrapping, it's going to save you hours over the whole season.
Oh, absolutely. I used to have a gift wrapping station in my Florida house. I mean, I had a cabinets and space, and I set it up because I'm a big gift wrapper, and I would buy ornaments to use on my packages and different things. And so I had a station, and everybody knew not to mess with me. Stay out of mom's wrap station if you know it's good for you.
Mess with my station. That's great.
That's important.
Okay.
Okay, so are we ready to move on to personal time and rest?
Do it. Let's do it.
Okay. That is probably the hardest thing for us girls. We have so many things we want to accomplish, even as we're making these plans, but to pencil in an hour, you know, to get a bubble bath and maybe have some quiet time is a little hard, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think what's even harder is that a lot of times we haven't even thought about what truly does relax us. We need to spend a few minutes just thinking about what is it? What is the activity, including like take a nap, whatever your activity is, what is the activity from which I emerge rested and charged up and ready to work? You might be going, there isn't any activity that makes me feel like that, in which case I can just tell you, you're overtired. But there are things in your life that when you do them, they energize you. There are so many things that are supposedly relaxing, like let's say watching TV. Watching TV is supposedly relaxing, but most people after watching TV do not feel charged up, energized, and ready to work. They feel lethargic. They don't feel that way. You're an exception to that rule. But you want to think about the things that are really going to leave you feeling charged up and excited and ready to go. So that's the first thing.
Right. And you have to know yourself to do that and determine that you're going to do it and not allow yourself to overlook that because it's critical to fulfilling everything else you're planning.
Yep, absolutely. At the beginning of each of these sections in the boot camp, I ask a question that is a how do you want to feel question. And I encourage you to really take those seriously. When I train people to check with your feelings, what I don't want you to do is I don't want you to live by feelings. That's not healthy. You can't live by feelings. You have to live by fact. And I also faith. But the feelings are so helpful because like a gas gauge on your car's dash, a feeling is going to give you an indication of what's happening underneath that you can't see. So the feelings are so important to tap into. And stress is a feeling. Being content is a feeling.
Right.
Feeling satisfied. These are feelings, and they're important, and they're God-given gifts to help us understand how we're really doing. So when I start, like in this section, I ask you, how do you want to feel physically at the end of each major day or event or at the end of the season? And when I was doing mine, I wrote down, I want to, at the end of each day in the season, I want to feel ready for bed but not drop dead tired. I want to feel like the day was good for everyone, including me. And it's important for you to be really specific, especially if this is an area that's hard for you. Be really specific with what you want. What is it that you want? I mean, do you want to stay up until 1 a.m. because that's what charges you up? I mean, that's your excitement the night, you know, before Christmas Eve is to stay up until 1 a.m. and get up the next morning and go through it all again and then just drop into bed on Christmas night dead tired. If that's what you like, well, then that should be your goal. That isn't what I like. I don't like to have that drop dead tired feeling. I like to be tired enough to go to sleep but not exhausted to the point of feeling sick.
Right. You have to know if you know what your level is.
I think it's
many
so
years,
important.
I have really worn myself out and find myself up at 2 or 3 in the morning, mostly when my children were smaller, but wrapping presents and making everything perfect and getting that breakfast casserole in the refrigerator so I could bake it in the morning. And, you know, I just wanted everything to be perfect. I think that's something we have to give ourselves some margin in, is everything's not going to be exactly perfect. We're going to take care of the priorities, and we're going to let a few things be flexible so that we can continue.
One of the things that I had written in this section is, and I do this in all the sections, I ask about, you know, how do you want to feel yourself? How do you want others to feel about you in this category? What has typically caused you the most stress? And for me, what causes me the most stress is when I make plans that are too elaborate, and then I don't have time to do them myself, but I don't have anybody to help me with them. So what I wanted to do differently this year was I wanted to simplify a bit more, to only make foods, set tables, and do projects that are done together with others instead of alone. And then I also know that I have to take a nap. I have to take a nap on the afternoons of the busiest days. And mostly that's because we have this retail store, and at the holidays, of course, I'm sure you can imagine the shopping at a retail store. Managing that is quite chaotic compared to normal. So adding that to a house full of company, kids coming in from out of town and all that kind of stuff, it just becomes too exhausting for me. So what I wrote down is I said I must schedule a nap in the afternoons of the busiest days, and then I even went a little farther. And then I wrote maybe a good time for others to watch a movie. Now, if you are the one that loves the movies, you wouldn't want to do that, but I'm the one that can take or leave a movie. So I don't have a problem missing with the family, and I can be there when they start it and be there again when it's over, but have my little rest time. So you just want to step back a little bit and say, how can I make this work? And it's a good question to say, how can I, instead of, this just never works, this is always just hopeless, this is just, you know, just step back and say, how can I make this work?
Right, be solutions-oriented.
Yeah.
Well, your next session section is called Personal Health.
And this is a... this is a good one. Eating and exercise. How are you gonna do that this year?
Let's talk about this one.
It's really so important. And again, I started with, how do you want to feel about yourself at the end of each eating event this season? You know, so many times we just plow through the holidays, shoveling food in, going from party to party, going from eating occasion to eating occasion, and not really having a plan. Once again, just letting it happen to us, and then afterwards feeling horrible. Maybe going and thinking, oh my goodness, I ate too much. Or the next morning going, what have I done? And instead of that, let's stop at the beginning and take some time to think through how you really want this to be.
Well, and you've done that in your book. Of your book about eating is?
Well, I have a website called eatingwithgod.com.
Exactly.
And that explains how, what I do is I just, with every bite that I take, I just enjoy it with God. I just enjoy a bite with gratitude for the bite, for the flavor, for a tongue to taste it, for a mouth, for a hand to serve it to myself, whatever I can think of to be thankful for. And there are zillions of things, including the taste, to be thankful for. But then the other thing is just slowing down and having the awareness that you're actually putting another bite into your mouth and enjoying it. What we find is that really the first few bites are the most enjoyable. It becomes less enjoyable with every bite because the tastes are not that interested in it anymore. And so really just having a bite or two of your favorite foods is very healthy. It's doable, and it just can change your whole experience during this holiday season, and in fact, for life.
And that's where God can help us, as you lay it at His feet and say, Father, you need to help. You know, I'm asking you to help me with this, and it's a discipline that we can develop with His Spirit.
Right. My number three there on page 9 is, what the question is, what has typically caused me the most stress about this, about eating right during the holidays? And it's because I would just shovel food into my mouth, especially on baking days, cooking days, party days. And then I found that I would even be shoveling food into my mouth in between, even when I wasn't partying, because I'd gotten the sugar monster going again, you know, and all of a sudden you've had all this sweets, and there's a thing that whatever yesterday it'll want today, And, you know, maybe normally you don't have that much sweets or those kind of sweets, and now they're all around everywhere. And it's like, yeah, that tasted so good yesterday. I think I want some more today. So I think we just have to look at it and say, what am I going to do differently this year, which is your number four. And just think about, what are you willing to do differently this year? Just make a small change or a big change, but, you know, don't make it unrealistic. I know some people, you know, during the holidays, they want to lose weight during the holidays and do things like that. If you're going to do that, you're going to have to go almost on a detox, because it'll be hard to just have a little less and still, you know, lose the weight, because there's so many exciting foods all around. But make sure that you understand what has caused you trouble in the past, what you want to feel like, and what you're willing to change.
And it's a matter of choosing it before you get to the moment.
It is. You really, and that's what this whole thing is about. This whole boot camp is about taking time before we have life happen to us to say
right.
What we'd like to have. And then under the personal health too, the best advice I have for the exercise is to keep doing whatever it is that works for you the rest of the year. And what you're going to be tempted to do is you're going to be tempted to say, I just don't have time. During the holidays, they don't have time. But the problem is that it's a compiling effect. When you stop exercise, you feel less energetic. It doesn't take very long at all, and you get lethargic. You get more tired than you would be if you took that half hour, 45 minutes to exercise. So I just encourage you to, whatever has been working the rest of the year for you, if you have an exercise regime at all, keep it going during the holidays, even when you think, I'm just too tired or it's just too hard. Most of the time, just keep on going, and you'll be glad you did.
Yes, and that's actually time for you as well. So maybe you can sort of focus in and make your exercise time a time for you to sort of recharge and regroup as well for the rest of your day and your plans. You've got a great menu planner on here. You've got 2 weeks' worth, which is always good for you to decide ahead of time. That way you spend less money at the grocery store, and you're more calm. You know what you're doing. There aren't any questions about what you're going to be preparing, and that will offer you up more time as well. So you've got a really nice chart there.
Page 10. The thing with the meals is that if you don't plan ahead for crisis situations, not big crisis, I'm not talking about life or death crises, but just the kind of crises that happen during the entire holiday season, you know, the kids' basketball practice gets let out late, and then, you know, you've got a party you have to be to at a certain time, or somebody has to be to a play practice or whatever. It just gets more intense during the holidays. And if you don't have a very clear plan set out that's doable, super doable, then you're going to find yourself frustrated and not really being able to get the meals on the table for your family the way you may want to, and then you'll eat out more. That costs more money. So what I did here is the first one under number five is to come up with your five easy menu plans that
right.
you can do on super busy days. And you should write down your family's five favorite fast-to-fix meals, and then get recipes ready for those and all the ingredients so that you can always have all the ingredients for each of those five on hand. And I know that sounds hard, but it's not that hard, and it will just save you time and time again. As soon as you've done this for a couple months, you'll never go back, because it is just such a relief to know that you can just whip dinner out in 15, 20 minutes, that you have all the ingredients you need. And, I mean, if you don't have this plan in place with the ingredients on hand, here's all the ways that you can, not all the ways, but most, I mean, these are the ways that commonly stop you from actually being willing to do it another night when you're busy. So number one is you can think of something to eat. You finally have something you can make, something that's fast and your family would enjoy. Then you get home and you realize you're missing one ingredient or five
right.
ingredients.
Always.
So you have to start back from scratch again and think, oh, okay, what else could I make? Now you're rummaging through to see what you have on hand. Well, you could maybe do this, but no, I don't have that to go with that. And this is how it goes. And what happens is that you do that to yourself a couple, three times. The next time, you're just going to stop at a fast food place on your way home, because you're just not going to be willing to put yourself through that again when you're already under a time crunch like you are during the holidays. So
that's
having
right. That's what's to happen. It's sort of like when we get stressed out. I'm a comfort food person. I need sugar. And if I get stressed out, as long as I get that sugar in my system, I can breathe and start over. But, you know, I know that's bad for me. So what I plan. Planning is what keeps me from doing that and not having Reese cups anywhere near me.
So. Right. And this one strategy alone will save you so much hassle and money this Christmas season. When I promote the holiday planning boot camp, Karen, I always tell people that I guarantee it'll save you over $200, and that's so easy to do. That you're going to do that alone when you do the holiday budget. You'll save over $200 just by sitting down and doing the budget. This is another spot where you're going to save tens, 20s, 40s, 50s of dollars just by having these at home where you can grab them quick and get that meal on the table. And then having a reusable rotation, menu rotation set out so that maybe every 2 weeks you have the same meals planned during of December. It's just easy. You can put down what your family likes to eat. Once it's on there, you know the grocery shopping. I always say, you know, the best way to save money is to stay out of the store. So, you know, just if you have your list ahead of time, you're going to spend less on groceries. It's just going to be easy to save some money there too, and a lot of stress. You know, a trip to the grocery store, and how many times have you ever said, I just came in for bread or whatever,
right,
and you walk out, $40. A trip to the grocery store is so much more expensive than that, though. It's expensive because we walk out with more than we intended, but even more importantly, it's expensive because we took the time to drive there, we took the time to park, we took the hassle to go all the way in, find the two things we needed, go through the whole line thing, come all the way back out, drive all the way back home, go all the way back in, hang your coat up again. You know, it's so expensive to be missing a couple ingredients when it's really easy if you just plan a little bit ahead to have that all on hand for yourself and go forward from there.
I had a very big house. I kept a little index card box, and I put all my meals on those cards, and on one side I put my menu, on the other side I put my shopping list for that meal. And so I would pull 7 cards, or however many days of the week I knew I had to cook, I just pull those cards out, and I'd go to the grocery store and buy what was on those cards, and that was my list. And I did that for several years. I didn't do it forever, but I did it for a little while, and it really worked.
That's awesome. The way that I do it is I keep a grocery list on the refrigerator, and whenever I pull my last item of any certain kind of thing, peanut butter or whatever it is, then I just mark it on that I need some more. And then when I go to the store, I'm just all set. Because most of us, you know, in a grocery store, you've got 15,000 or more individual items. I'm sure when I came up with that number 15,000, I think that was 15 years ago when I first wrote my book, and I think the number has to be, because we have like 50,000 items in our retail store, and ours is smaller than most grocery stores. Well, I think you're looking at probably 100,000 different choices in the grocery store. Your personal family, your family's grocery list is going to have about 200 items on it.
Right.
We are very much creatures of habit. And there's just no reason at all not to keep those items in stock so that you can make anything you want, time you want. It's just so much nicer on your system to not have to always be doing this.
It's calming.
It's exhausting.
I think kids, you know everybody's favorites, and some nights one gets their favorite and another night. But when you're prepared like that, you're not all stressed out, and you can get that meal on the table and you can enjoy it sitting down together. So it's important.
Yeah. The final tip about meals for family is to just face the reality that at some point during the holiday season, once or twice or however many times, you're going to really not have time. You're going to be out somewhere, and you're not going to be able to go all the way home and then get back to the next thing in time, and you're just going to have to grab something quick while you're out. So you can either plan for those times ahead by making a bag lunch to go, but if you are going to go out to eat at those points to do fast food or something like that, one fun idea is to just ask each family member, what's your favorite quick stop? You know, and different people in your family have different favorites. So over the holiday, just budget it in and plan to hit everybody's favorite at least once. If you don't use up that many, that's okay, and you can do it after the holidays the next few times you go out. But during the holiday season, it's just kind of fun if you've asked everybody in advance and then they say, why did you go here again? Well, we're going here because this is Dad's favorite and this is Tom's favorite, and that's how it is. But that way, you know, you have an answer and you don't have the guilt that you would normally associate with, I can't get dinner on the table again. You just know, okay, this is how this night is. I planned for it. It's okay for me to just relax and enjoy the time with my family.
Right, right. And I think if you make a schedule as well, you know, one night to pasta night, one night your chicken night, one night your pizza night, it helps with the flow of things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It just reduces stress all the way around.
It does. So are we finished with that area, you think?
I think we can go on.
All right. We're going to talk about Christmas cards and letters.
So,
anybody have theirs done?
I'm sure somebody does.
I want to know that.
This is I was saying this morning when we were with our first group here today, Karen, that in my mailbox will come every different variety of Christmas card or letter imaginable. Some people don't send me one at all. Some send me, you know, an epistle. You know, it's 4 pages long and has every detail about their year. Some people send a photo that doesn't have anything except the names of the family members on it and, you know, happy holidays or something.
Right.
Some people send me a one pager. Some people send a card with a signature at the bottom. Everything imaginable. So I just want to encourage you listeners that whatever works for you, works for you. That's okay. There's really no one set standard as to what's acceptable at the holidays. It's fun to share, to exchange something, and a lot of people have gone to doing it online, and that's just perfectly fine. If that works for you, that's fine. Do what makes sense to you, and once again, you want to answer the question, how do I want to feel when I put either the cards in the mail, or how do I want to feel on the day that I'm done communicating my Christmas wishes to people that I love and that I know? And you want to actually write down how you want to feel. And mine is super lofty. I mean, I want to feel proud of the letter. I want to feel proud of the photo, and I want to feel proud of my family. That's how I want to feel. And that's maybe not what another person would want to feel. Maybe somebody else would just want to feel like, well, it's the first time I got it done in 10 years. I'm just proud of myself for getting anything done. And that would be just fine. But for me, I mean, mine is kind of a high goal.
Right. You know that. So it's knowing what you want, what you expect.
Right. And I have to give enough time then to actually accomplish that. I can't just assume that that's going to happen without any effort. I have to say I'm willing to invest the time. And in fact, at the bottom of this page, there's actually a personal project list involved with it. Tasks might include brainstorming ideas, determining a theme. A lot of families actually have a theme either in their photo or in their letter, that the whole letter is about one particular theme. And if that's you, then you need to think about that in advance. You need to, if you're going to have a family photo, you need to schedule that. You need to update your mailing list. You need to print your labels or hand address the envelopes. You need to buy the cards and the paper. You need to write the letter. You need to stamp and address the envelopes if you haven't, or at least stamp them, and then you have to mail them. This all takes time. There's quite a bit of time involved in this, and if you leave it too late again, that's where your stress is going to come.
Right, there again, planning and taking that step of investment of time is going to pay off for you.
Yeah. Now, one of the things with the pictures, and of course you don't have to do a family picture, but if you were hoping to do a family picture, one thing to consider there, we all think about like what everybody's wearing or who's going to take the picture or when that's going to happen. But the key to success with the family picture is actually going to be that people are smiling with their heart, that they're not just, you know, putting on that smile for the photo, but that they're really, you're catching them at a time when they're happy. So when you think about when should we take this family picture, you want to think about a time when your family will be together having a good time, and that you can get everybody scrunched up behind the tallest person and get their heads together and take it or whatever. But
right.
You want to think about what will make your family happy that you're going to be doing in the next few weeks anyway, that you can say, let's just do it then. If you're going to have it professionally done, think about what it is that you're going to do before and during the picture, the photo shoot that's going to make them happy. Here's what most moms do. Sit down. Shut up. Put your hair back. What is that? What are you yelling at their kids the whole time? And then they want them to smile nice for the picture. So you have to kind of think about that. To make it fun for Junior to smile for you, well, it's maybe going to be that you have out in front of them, you know, a little stuffed bear, and he's holding lollipops for everybody. And as soon as we're done with this, we get to have that. I don't care what you do, whatever works for you, but you have to think, how can I get my family actually literally, truly happy right now? And it's not going to be by you being stressed out about the photo.
Provide motivation.
That's right. And, of course, you know, obviously, there's different times when this is just built in. You're having a fun family game night. Well, that's the time to whip out the camera and say, hey, let's try to take a family picture in front of the tree. Everybody's already having a good time. Try to find a time that everyone's already cheerful, already engaged, and that you can actually get some smiling people.
I know a lot of families have a hard time getting everybody in the same place at the same time. So maybe you could do a little premeditated dinner planning and say, hey, you know, their favorite meal, tonight I'm planning this and I want everybody home. So to get them there and then take that picture.
It does take planning. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just, especially if you're trying to have a coordinated look. It doesn't just happen. But what does happen regularly is that people really forget that the point of the picture is to capture how we were feeling right then as a family.
Right.
And so we get all fussed up about the different angles of that, and we forget the real purpose of it.
Right. And, you know, we have to give ourselves a break. We may not all have the perfect outfits on and coordinated properly, but like you said, the most important thing is everybody's smiling and they're together. Maybe one year you will get that coordinated look and everything would have gone well, but you might not the next year. So just don't need to worry about that.
The thing is, if that is your goal, if you have a lot invested into that picture, like you do the coordinated look and everything, and your kids are getting more teenager years or even adult children, you can really recruit one of your kids, especially a girl, would be good in the photo side, to coordinate the clothing for people. And she'll get really into that. You know, give her a budget, and then she'll get really into that. She'll make sure that everybody's looking good. You can pass your one test over it at the end. And, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, don't give it to your daughter who doesn't have any fashion sense, but the daughters who maybe do or the sons even who. And it can really be a team building opportunity too. And you want to do that with your traditions as well, where you step back from the tradition and you say, who's really invested into this? Who'd be willing to help me with it?
Right.
And get some help. Keep recruiting help. Don't try to do everything yourself.
And that helps to teach your children to carry on your traditions. I know that I lost my mother. She was pretty young, but she did a lot of amazing things the holidays. She was Christmas was so important to her, and she just made it incredible for us. And so my children never got to meet my mother, but I keep her traditions alive and well, and they look forward to that. So it's a way to pass on their heritage as well, to get those girls and boys involved in doing what they need to do, and so that when their babies come along, they're going to be passing that on as a legacy.
Yep, absolutely. Yep, great point.
Yeah. So, well, we're going to go on to decorating, which is fun, but it can be a little stressful.
And everybody, once again, everybody does this differently. There's not people who do this the same. So you can kind of figure out what level is good for you, and that's kind of the question I start there with on page 13, is what is my standard of success for this year's tree and home decor? What do I need it to look like in order to feel happy and satisfied? We had a good conversation earlier today with somebody who said, who could really relate to 1 year, I didn't even have any decorations on my tree. We had the tree up, but zero decorations because we had just purchased a restaurant. And there just simply wasn't time. I just had to be there so many hours that there wasn't time to decorate the tree. And a gal who was joining us earlier today was commenting that that's where she is this year. She's just not probably going to be able to do it. And it's okay. If that's all right with you, it's all right. And that's what I kind of think we have to sometimes step back from how we've always done it and say, well, can I do this year? What's reasonable for me to do? What do I want to do? What can I do? And then I just need to be satisfied with that. So
that's right.
Mine this year was kind of interesting. When I went through this year, I was like, okay, this year I want to do what I normally do for my home decor, my home and tree decor, except I wanted to do it early because we have my sister's family living with us, and they have four boys. And those boys have always lived on a boat their whole life. They're from 6 years old up to 15 years old. And so this is the first year that they have had a Christmas tree in their home because, of course, they don't have room on a boat to have a Christmas tree. So it's been really fun. It was so fun to put it up and to let them help decorate it and just to see their squeals and delight with having a tree in the home. And that was really my only change that I wanted to make. This was an area where I felt comfortable with. But somebody else might be, you know, I'm not comfortable with how I decorate. I don't like it. I want to do something different. Then you want to say, what is it that I want to do? You might spend some time on Pinterest on, you know, or looking at one of the best ways to see good ideas for things like trees or how you're going to set your table is to go to google.com. And then up at the top, click on the option that says images, and then type in like Christmas house or Christmas decorating or Christmas trees. And what you're going to see is you're going to see many pictures, and you're going to see so many wonderful ideas.
Oh, that's a great resource. I've kind of learned, you know, as the years have gone by and I've gotten remarried in the last few years, moved, and a lot of my Christmas stuff is still boxed up in a basement, but I've learned to go big instead of lots of little teeny small things, and makes a bigger impression. It takes me less time, and my house is still sparkling. So I think that's what I'm going to do again this year. I haven't begun my decorating. That starts tomorrow. But every year is different. Some years I like to plan it all out, and I'm used to doing a fairyland in my house, and my kids have loved it, and it's been wonderful memories for them. But every year is a different year. Like we talked with someone this today, and then she said, this is just an off year, and I really want someone to do it for me.
Yep. I think a lot of our listeners probably relate to that. You want everything to have people do for me. But there are just times when you just don't feel up to it, and you just don't have to worry about that. You can actually just enjoy what you can do.
Yeah. You've got a great chart here that will give you a structure to use so that you kind of know where you are and what you're going to do. And that way you may not have to pull out every box because you've chosen a theme and you know what you're going to put up. And this year some things are going to come out. So that's okay, and we need to be willing to do that and not feel like, oh, gosh, I didn't get my great-grandmother's nativity set up this year. Well, you know, there's always next year.
Right. And I remember maybe about 10 years ago now or so, one Christmas when we were visiting my husband's parents, one Christmas I said, my mother-in-law asked me what I was going to do the next week. And I told her several things, and then I said, and I suppose on New Year's Day I'll have to take the tree down. And she goes, why do you have to take it down on New Year's Day? And I said, well, doesn't it get down on New Year's Day? And she said, oh, my goodness, no. She said, one time we left ours up until March. And I said, you left your Christmas tree up until March? And she goes, sure, we just take it down whenever we wanted to. And one year we just didn't want to. And it was just like somebody gave me $1 million and said, here, just enjoy it until you're ready to not enjoy it anymore and then take it down. And so now, really honestly, Karen, sometimes I have left my tree up until into February because I love my tree. I love my Christmas decorations.
I have too. I have left it up till Valentine's Day one time.
There you go, see? And you can do these things. It's okay.
I can just push it in the room and bring it back out.
That's really funny. But I think that most important is for you, everybody listening, for you to just realize there is really no concrete standard other than the one you set for yourself. In all of these areas, if you ask 10 people how they're going to do it, they would give you 10 different answers. That none of them would be exactly the same. Some of them may have a few in common, but basically you have a lot of flexibility to do what's going to work for you, and it's going to be fine as long as what? As long as it's fine with you. You are the most important player here, determining what is okay with you. So I just encourage you to step back and to really think about, you know, what is it that you really need? What do you really want? What are you willing to sacrifice for? Because everything, you know, costs time or money, and then go for it.
Right. That's right. And I've learned this too in years of decorating, how you store and the method you put things up can make it so much easier for the next year. Getting the right storage boxes and labeling. I've learned that I have to label, I make sure I put down what's in each box. So, gosh, you know, this year I'm not going to use that, so I don't need that box. I don't have to bother to bring it down. So that part of organization as well just seems to make things run a lot smoother.
I encourage you to, we had our best year so far. We bought a retail store 6 years ago, and usually it's about 12,000 square feet.
Oh, that's
and
big.
Usually it would take anywhere from, you know, two weeks or more to decorate the store for Christmas.
Oh, I wanted to
this
ask you about said that. Tell me about that.
The store, you mean?
Yeah, about
the
decorating process. I saw that you whittled it down to a small period of time.
It was just amazing. This year we did it in one day. We decorated the store in one day.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's like, how can you possibly do that? But here's
you
how we
did
it.
You do that, Marnie? Tell us.
Yeah. One thing you want to do is there's kind of three components to it. The first thing you want to do is you want to have really good records, like what you're saying, what's in each box. And so last year we took our carryover descriptions to a new level. So previously we'd say, you know, we'd say kind of on the outside of the box, Christmas. Well, last year we, you know, dozens of boxes. So last year, we actually identified what was in each box, and we gave each box a Christmas, the word Christmas, and then a number, like number 5, number 6, or whatever. And then downstairs, that went up to the warehouse, but downstairs on the main floor, we just had a folder into which all of these sheets went. So what I did next is that I did the second, so that was what we did last year. Then this year, what I did next is I cleared all of the gondolas, all the shelving spaces that we were going to change into Christmas. So instead of having everything on the shelves when I brought the boxes down, we had everything cleared all at once. So we cleared everything one day, and that's what I encourage you to do at home now. Put all of the stuff away that you're going to not use during the holidays. Like for me, I actually take down pictures, I take down decorations so that I have room for my Christmas stuff.
Right.
And so if you do that all at one time, that's all done. And then the next day what we did is we brought down all those boxes, the ones that had come in now new this year, and the ones that were carrying over from last year. I labeled each gondola where everything was going to go, so we knew where everything was going to go. And if it was a bear or if it was a Santa or if it was a bow or if it was a garland, we knew exactly which shelving unit, which gondola it was going to go into. And we just carried the boxes from the back of the store and set them directly in front of the place where they were going to go.
That's
and
beautiful.
Then we just worked straight at taking them out of the box and putting them up, and it went so amazing. It was a long day, no doubt about that, but it was one day, and it was so easy compared to, here's how we used to do it, and here's how a lot of you are doing it at home, of course, because you can. We would open the box, see what was in the box, think, wonder where I should put that. Then put it up there and pretty soon realize, oh, I have more of that that's going to not fit all there. So now I have to move it to a different spot, move everything. And the whole time, taking things off the shelf to make more room for more stuff. So
right.
That was a huge difference for me, kind of that three-prong approach. And you can really apply this at home this year when you put away your Christmas decorations, organize them into types, into basically if you want to get really organized at home, do it into rooms. This is going to go in the living room. This is going to go in the dining room. This is going to go into the office or the porch or whatever, so that next year you just take the box to the right location and you've already cleared off the stuff that's going to make room. You just take it out and put it up and you're done. Yeah, very
quickly. That's right. That's perfect. That makes things so much easier and goes so much quicker. Which you're the master at. You've already found that out. So
I love, you know what I love? I love training shortcuts and strategies like this, because basically for the person who said decorating is the thing that I do worst, that is my nightmare. I actually hate decorating. And you maybe had a 0 or a 2 on your score on your holiday balance wheel, and you're like, I just can't stand it. you can really take this strategy and you can put it to work and you can have that done in lickety-split. You can have that done in no time at all. Whereas the person who really finds joy and pleasure in decorating their home, and the longer they spend doing it, the more they get. You should not take my advice. You should do it the way that pleases you. My advice is for the people who are like, I hate that. I don't want to do that. I want to get on with my life. And that's my same with my cookbook. I enjoy cooking when I have time, but I don't frequently have time. Most of the time, I just have to get something on the table. And so I wrote a cookbook for people who like to cook, but they don't usually have time to dilly-dally in the kitchen. So I wrote
that's
the book
women.
That serves great food, but does it fast. And then on the days you have time to party in the kitchen, then you can take time. And that's what all these are for, too. Definitely don't let me in any way, shape, or form encourage you to do something faster or less than you want to. That's not what this is about. This is helping you find time to invest in the things you really love to do.
Right, and that's something that they can determine, that the balance wheel helps you determine where you're at in that process. So
that's right.
Me a great idea, because I usually arrange my color, and I'll have a candle box, but now I realize I need to do it room by room, and I'm going to have to reorganize this year.
Okay. You know, every single year you can just keep on improving, keep on streamlining the things that aren't quite ready yet. And pretty soon, you know, you'll have a balance wheel. You know, my balance wheel is pretty far out there on mine. I've been working on this for a while. I've got a couple areas that are still a little problematic, but I've really developed a very healthy approach to the holidays that lets me really enjoy every aspect of it. And actually, I just want to tell you that when you're not enjoying your holidays, the people around you feel that. You're not only ruining it for you, you're ruining it for them and add pressure to your already hectic schedule. But the fact is that if we're doing life with God, it's supposed to be joyful. It's supposed to be peaceful. It's supposed to be enjoyable as far as that joy word is in there. And if we're not doing it that way, then we're really missing out on God's best for us. There has to be something that we can do differently or think about differently to understand how to enjoy ourselves and to share that joy with the people around us instead of being the Grinch all the month of December.
Or Vader Mother, which my kids called me, Darth Vader Mother.
Yes. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. You're talking about Darth Vader?
Yes, that's what they would call me. Because I tell you, I'm a Christmas fanatic, but there are many, many years that I was just so stressed out from it. They were just in my way, and they knew they were just in my way. So they call me Vader Mother, she who must be obeyed.
That's so funny.
Those years. But,
you know, I
didn't have the tools. I wasn't as organized. I wanted so much to get done. I wanted everything to be perfect because during those years, I sort of thought, well, that's part of me being the best mom I can be. But I had to learn that being the best mom I can be is about me being happy and content and okay. I mean, I would be sick after almost sometimes having to do all this for a couple weeks at a time and not being able to take care of myself. So it certainly wasn't worth that.
Yeah, that's what I just think. It's so important. And I know I mentioned this to the group this morning, too, but it's so critically important that you realize that it's God who says that you're supposed to take care of yourself first. If you think about the great commandment that Jesus said, you know,
right.
Sum up, they said, the commandments into something that we can understand. And he said, here it is. It's really simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And when you think about that commandment, it's all about you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you aren't taking care of you, you are truly blocking the flow of Jesus, of the Spirit through you to others. And everywhere where you're stuck, everywhere where you're not okay as a person is causing you to be less effective as a minister of Christ to those around you. So when you think, oh, this is also selfish for me to be thinking about myself all the time. And, you know, she's asking me, how do I feel about this? Well, I don't feel great about anything. I'm just going to tell you that really, Jesus wants you to feel wonderful. I wrote a book called Feeling Loved because I think so many people miss this, that our relationship with God is supposed to be a joy ride. It really is. And it's more like a bungee jump, actually, because it goes up and down so much. But it's supposed to be fun. You know, it's supposed to be awesome. It's supposed to be abundant, not just life, but abundant life, where we really can stand back almost all the time and say, wow, God is amazing. He's good. He's taking care of me. And part of that is our responsibility to let him take care of us. And so that's why I keep asking you through this whole boot camp. And if you take other trainings from me, you'll hear me say this all the time. How are you taking care of you? And I'm not one of those people that says, you know, go get a manicure and pedicure, you know, every month or whatever. I mean, I never do that myself. That isn't what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, what is it that makes you feel connected to God? What is it that makes you feel rested? What is it that brings you joy? If you're really paying attention to these things and sowing into those things, then the rest shall also come. I mean, it's all of these things will also be there.
So, like, seeking first his kingdom.
It is.
Yeah.
The kingdom in each of us, Karen, you are the kingdom of God on earth. You
are
part of that. I am that. You and I together. Every listener has Jesus Christ in our life. We are the kingdom of God. And as we allow him to flow through us as just yielded vessels instead of as, you know, either self-centered or self-debasing, neither of those are balanced. We're supposed to just be vessels that are fully who he created us to be, and then he can flow through, and everybody benefits from that. We feel better. The people around us enjoy us more. They enjoy life more. Mom ain't happy. Ain't nobody's happy, you know? So we got to get ourselves into a position where we can be okay with who we are, with where we are, with what we can do, and let the rest go.
I think that foundation comes from knowing and embracing how much he loves us. I think so many women really don't know that he loves them and don't feel that love, even if they love him, serve him, walk with him. It gets really down to it. They don't feel loved by him. But once they do, that foundation changes their entire life. And they can rest, even in their failures. I've had to come to that grips with myself, and even last year, I had to lay a few things down for a little while, and there were people that didn't agree with me that, but you know what? I had never rested like that in my life, and for the first time, I learned that the Lord loved me, whether I was producing or not producing, ministry or no ministry, he just loved me. And so that made me stronger once I had that period of resting, that I could go forward, so I think that's crucial.
Yeah, so important. And we wanted to address here sometime this evening, and maybe just bring it up right now, how to say no. This is a huge, huge battle for most of us until we change our perspective about it. And the saying that helps me the most is, every time I say no to something, I have in fact said yes to something else. And every time I say yes to something, I have in fact said no to something else.
Right.
So when step back and you think about it, really. Someone says to you, will you help me coordinate this Christmas party at my house? And you say, sure, that sounds fun. And I'm afraid that that's about how much thought most of us usually give it. So what happens now is you're going to help coordinate this party. So the evening of the party, you've got probably 4 hours. And then you've got all the advance work ahead. Maybe you're going to cook or bake for 2 additional hours. You've got the grocery trip. That's another hour. Now we're up to 7. And then you've got the inviting part where you're going to invite a bunch of people, and that maybe takes another hour. And then you've got to clean up the next day afterwards because of the things that you didn't do while you were gone. So let's say that you've got 10 hours invested into this. Sure. What happens is that those 10 hours would have actually been spent doing something else. Now, if you would have spent them watching TV or playing solitaire or something like that, well, then no big deal, and you were correct to say yes. But if you would have spent them doing things that would have been more valuable for your eternity, like investing into your kids possibly, investing into your spouse, maybe cleaning and preparing for the company that was going to come on Sunday, then now you have to stay up until 3 in the morning to do that, and you're grumpy the next day or exhausted. That sure costs you a lot, and you weren't really even thinking about that when you said yes. You just thought it sounded good, and so you did it. And I just encourage you to remember that every time you say yes to something, you have in fact said no to something else. So you never truly say no at all without saying yes. You're just saying yes to something else. And when I finally understood that, Karen, that changed my life, because I was able to just step back, say, I need to think about that before I say yes. And sometimes just realizing, oh my goodness, I'd be insane to do that. That would be right over the edge. Other times, yeah, sure, I can do that. Not a problem. I want to do that.
I think that's a good rule in business as well. It teaches you to be cautious before you commit yourself, because you want your yes to be yes and your no to be no.
Yes, so true. Yeah. And a lot of times the people that get sacrificed in our yeses are our family, because our family just rolls with us. They may voice agitation if you aren't there enough, or if you're getting cranky, or you know, things like that. But they're going to love you anyway. They're going to roll with you. Whereas other people, they just only are asking for this little bit, and so they just pretty much think you should, you know. And there's a lot of pressure there. So you just need to step back and say, is it wise for me to say no to what I'm going to give up to take part in this?
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
All right, Ms. Marnie, now we're going to talk about the big G, gifts.
Oh, this is your favorite one, isn't it?
Oh, this is my least favorite.
Okay, gifts.
I guess I'm not a good Spencer.
One of the things that's going to help you the most is the budget. The budget is going to reduce your choices. And even though in America we hate having our choices reduced, oh, my goodness, we want, you know, if you go right now tonight to your grocery store and stand in front of the milk, just the milk, I think you'll have maybe 25 options of milk, just milk. Okay, so that's what we kind of turn into our holiday gift. We have the world to pick from, right? Everything out there could possibly be the perfect gift. But you know what? That is too many choices, and that makes us crazy. That makes us absolutely crazy. One of the best things I ever did, and it's on page 15 of your workbook, is to just email out a wish list request to your family. Just send them this little email, and it's really fun to get it back. And when the first time I did this, I learned about my kids. I thought, I didn't even know that about them. And they were really honest, and they were really fun. And I did this with my mom and with my sisters. And, you know, I mean, it really makes it easy. It narrows down the big whole world of gift-giving options into something that you can actually get your arms around. So if you're not looking at your workbook right now, some of the questions are, what are your favorite stores and restaurants? Okay, so what you can do there is you can either get them a gift certificate, or it's really a good insight into what they like. So let's say they say Bath Beauty and Beyond or something like that. Oh, well, wonderful. Now I know what store to shop in. You know, I mean,
right.
I don't know everything about them. Yes, I know what store they like. Perfect. That's a huge help. It narrows down all, you know, 87,000 other stores into one. Or maybe for the restaurant one, that's their favorite one. Well, maybe let's all go out to dinner there some night. Wouldn't that be fun? And we'll pick it up as, you know, part of honoring that person. Another one is, what are your favorite music groups or actors and actresses and authors? What are some things that you need? Here's the one that we usually limit it to these two. What are some things that you need, and what are some stuff that you'd like? Okay, that's usually where we stop. And these are part of this. Because of the other questions, you get to see a little bit more into the person, and you get to be a little more creative with your solutions, with your gifts. The next one is, what are things money can't buy? And these answers can sometimes just make you cry. You'll find out that, you know, hot cocoa under the tree, or a game of Scrabble, or, you know, you're going to find out what really turns their crank here.
That's
favorite hobbies and sports or activities. On this one, for me, my husband and I swim 3 days a week. And on this one, for me, when I sent it back, and by the way, if you ask people to do this, be prepared. They're going to ask you to give it back to them. They'll be like, yeah, you answer that. I don't know what you would say. So on mine this year, I put that I really need a new snorkel set. I don't do my face underwater thing. I mean, I swim miles every week, but I don't put my face underwater and hold my breath like that. I don't know how to do that. So I use a snorkel. I use a face mask and a snorkel. But my snorkel is getting worn out. So that was one of the things I wrote down. And this can help you identify maybe their favorite hobbies that they may possibly write down. And then you actually want to put a date in there. I can't wait to hear back from you by date, by Friday, by Tuesday, whatever you're going to say. Give them a deadline, because that gives you the option now on when the day has gone by and they haven't sent it back. And believe me, most people won't send it back on time. Then you can just say, hey, did you get a minute to do that? I was hoping to have that before this weekend, so we're going to do some shopping. And, you know, it just gives you the opportunity to remind them without sounding like a nag, because you actually did give them a date in the first place. And then once you have your budget and once you have the feedback from people, your big job has been so reduced down. Now what you want to do is you want to figure out which stores you're going to go shop at, and maybe some people have overlapping stores. We'll make sure that you have those together on your list so that you can do them all while you're there. And then the other thing you want to do is kind of think about the big one and the little one, especially for your immediate family. If you have a larger budget, what we tend to do is we tend to get one big item, because that takes it off the list and now we're done if we're not a giftie, and that helps our brain. But remember that it's just fun to open things too. So once you've got the big item, now really truly, when you're in the line, you know, just give yourself a small amount of money, $3, $10, whatever is a small amount to you. And when you're in the lines checking out, you know, all those things by the till or whatever, just look at some of the cute stuff and just say, for each person, I want to just get something little as well, not just their big thing. And that's just an idea that we use, but you can do whatever you want. It's definitely going to, again, once again, you're going to do it your own way, and your way isn't going to be exactly like anybody else's way.
Yeah, but, you know, kids and big kids always love a stocking filled with goodies. So
yes,
that's where a lot of our smaller items could go. And you're right, we can do those things as we're going about the bigger things. We just have to be conscious of it as we're going about that.
Now, when you do stockings, Karen, do you kind of save up all? Do you start buying right away in the new year and save up all year, or do you try to fit that in when you're doing all your Christmas?
I used to be done by August many years. Actually, I don't anymore. I become a little slack in my older age here, but I used to try to pick up things and order things that I knew they'd like. But usually my stocking stuffers are things that I get on the way out, or little goodies or socks or, you know, crazy toothbrush or something like that.
Yep. And that's, you know, that's another thing to add to the budget for that person. You want to remember that that's all adding up too. And once again, financial stress can be one of the major stresses during the holiday, and you want to be including that kind of thing. Whatever you're going to do for gifts, include it in. And that may even be a category of its own, where you say stockings is its own category. Maybe that's category 6, and we're going to, you know, just say this is how much we have to budget, and over the year you can just be watching for things that are, you know, buck, $5, $2, whatever like that to put in there. So that's really good. And then there's a project list that's involved in the gift giving section too here that will just help you to say what day do you want to have these done by. The due date, you just have your due date set reasonably and your done date, then you get to actually fill that in. One of the best things about a list is that you get a sense of accomplishment. When you finish a project, you actually get to check it off or put the date down that you got it done, and you can see yourself making progress. And when you start to panic, like, oh my goodness, you know, I have so much to do, you can go back to your list and you can see, well, I actually do have 5 things left on here, but I've already done 4, or I've already done 6. And so it does help you to have a sense of accomplishment. It helps you to have that sense of stability where at least I know what's still out there. I'm not going to have a lot of surprises coming at me during the holiday season. I know what's left, and I can dumb things down if I need to. And what I mean by that is maybe you were going to give gifts to everybody this year. You typically don't, but this year you're going to get everybody. You're going to get the postman. You're going to get everybody that you can think of. And you get closer and you're like, you know, I just don't have time. Okay, well, then this year isn't going to be the year for that. Maybe next year. So just allow yourself to tweak it as you go to make it work for you. And then that's the most important thing, is that you make it your own and then that you are okay with what you can do. Back again to that, being okay with what you have. That Paul says it so beautifully, and he's writing this from prison, so he's not saying this flippantly. He's just saying, I've learned with whatever I have to be content. And it's hard for us to do that. We want it all. And so this process helps us to identify what we think we can do and helps us to let go of the rest that we aren't able to do, even if we've got this whole big plan. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
That's right. And, you know, in the essence, the key factors in goal planning is to set a deadline, but deadlines can be adjusted. And so everything's not written in stone, and if we have to move a date back, we move it back. And we just keep working at it. So that's
so important to understand. And I teach a success principles coaching certification program.
Uh-huh.
And one of the talk about in there is goal setting. And it's so important to set goals and to set deadlines, but it's also important to hold everything with an open hand. And right now, for you who are listening, just hold your hand out in front of you. And I want you to imagine just something in your hand, maybe a paper clip or something, you know, that you can see close by, a pen or something. And I want you to look at how it sits in the open hand. And now I want you to clasp your hand down around that as tight as you can, just in a fist. You just protect that item with your entire palm and your thumb over the top of that, okay? When your hand is clenched in a fist, can you see the thing that is in it? Karen, can you?
No, you can't. It's covered.
It's as good as gone because you are clenching it that tightly. Now, if you open it up and you lay it in an open hand, it's much more vulnerable there, isn't it? It feels much more vulnerable. But the difference is that you actually get to enjoy it. You get to look at it. You get to appreciate it. Your hand doesn't cramp up. You get to have it as long as it's there, but you get to realize that as long as it is there, it's just a gift. And I just encourage you that everything in your life, and God took years ago, and he's taken a lot of moms through this, where you put your kids in that open hand and you say, yeah, I want to hold them in a clenched fist. I don't want anything to touch my kids. I don't want any sadness to touch their life. I don't want any harm to come to them. And of course we don't. But what we find is when we hold them in an open hand, then God is able to do what he is going to do with our kids. And he already knows what's coming down the pike. He knows when they're going to get hurt. He knows when they're going to be happy. He knows what's going to happen to them. He knows their future bosses. He knows how, you know, some of the people in their life may be abusive to them. He knows all these things. We don't know these things. And he's preparing them for their future. And we need to hold them with an open hand, just like we hold our holiday plans with an open hand. And it's like not even on the same level at all. But when we learn to hold things in our life with an open hand, then God can move us around. He can actually accomplish his work in us, and we're not fighting him and kicking against him the whole time. We're actually allowing him to do what he needs to do in order to bring us the best life possible and for those that we love. So just with all of these holiday plans, hold them with an open hand. Let him orchestrate it. You know, we do all this planning, and then we let him do the rest. Obviously, we have to carry out the plan and do the work of it, too. But we let him determine what the actual outcome will be.
That is so beautiful, Marnie. That is, what a gift what you just gave to us. That extends into our lives. It's so important. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Well, I love working. I always say I work for God. For years and years and years, I would sign my letters with, in his service, Marnie. And then there came a day when I was signing my letters and I realized I had changed. And now I sign my letters in his loving arms, Marnie.
I like that.
And I realized that I'm still just as much a servant as I ever was. But I've realized that now I am the daughter lover servant instead of just the slave servant. I still do as much or maybe even more than I used to do in the area of service. But I have a different sense about it now. Now it's a gift. Now it's a gift to be able to give instead of something I have to do. And it's truly a joy. And when I wrote the book, Feeling Love, that's really what that book is about. It's the first book in my series for super busy women. And it's just It's just an awesome book. If you guys haven't yet, then you don't feel that with God. You feel more like he's a taskmaster, and he's really harsh, and he's always demanding more of you. You really need to read that book and just hear his heart for you, because he just loves you desperately, and he's
Is
really
that
not.
Is on your Marnie.com site?
Yeah, it's part of the mentorship program too.
Okay.
Everything that I learn, I have a mentorship program, and it's very inexpensive. It's $25 a month to access everything, and that includes over 150 training seminars with leaders, with experts in all different fields. So, like, for instance, if you have an email bin that's just full and you don't know how to manage it, there's a segment on there with Marcia Egan, and she just tells you in 1 hour how to manage your emails. And there was one listener that had taken that class, and she started the class with 1,300 emails in her in bin. And she didn't just trash them all. She actually got through them, and her in-bin's been clean ever since, and that's been a few years ago. So there's so many great trainings over there. That's all part of it. All of my books that I've written, 12 how-to books, they're, including Feeling Loved, they're all part of the mentorship program as e-books. There's theme party sets, so if you plan women's events or parties like that, there's 32 event publicity sets ready for you to go. So all you do is just put in your own details, print the posters, print the bulletin inserts, print the tickets, whatever, and they're ready to go with ideas for table decorations, games, all that kind of stuff. There's all kinds of stuff, and it's all included in this mentorship program. And right now through Christmas, the whole mentorship is available. It's available at 75% off. Usually it's just $25 a month. Endlessly, there's no end to that. It's just however long you want to be a member, it's $25 a month, or it's $249 a year, or it's $999 for life. Right now, through Christmas, it's $249 for life, or 12 monthly payments of $24.99. So it's just the best deal we ever. And it's just so much, so much. If you like what you're hearing tonight, it's just a lot more like this, except about the different categories in your life, the 12 life zones that I have at Marnie.com. So it's faith, family, food, writing, speaking, media, connections, management, websites, women's ministry, and event planning. So you can go over there and find all the details about that. It's pretty easy to find, just on the top right corner, access resources. Definitely the book is there, as well as you can get it through any major bookseller if you want to buy a paperback copy of it.
Okay, wonderful. Looking forward to seeing that. All right. We've got 30 minutes left, Marnie. What we didn't really cover as much this morning, let's talk about parties and hosting things. Because a lot of us do that. We put together a lot of social things for our kids and for work and for church. So you've got on your page 16 in your workbook, your boot camp, is holiday meals and party hosting.
And again, we're going to start with, how do you want to feel at the end of each major event? I used to really struggle with this, Karen, and I don't know if it's normal. I've not really explored that to find out if it happens to everybody. But what would happen to me is I would plan a major event, and whether it was for church or for our family or whatever, I would just invest myself so thoroughly into planning it. And then when it was over, I would crash. I would just be almost depressed, even if it went really great. And maybe some of you have had this experience too, that no matter how well it went, it was just like, for me, it was just never enough. It was just never enough. And at one point, I realized that it had actually been one of the best events I'd ever planned. Only positive comments. I didn't get one negative feedback from anybody. It had just gone off without a hitch. There weren't anything major that went wrong at all. There was really nothing wrong with the event at all. It was just one of those rare times when everything works perfectly. And I went home and I was still sad. And I thought, what do I want? What in the world do I want here? I realized that I'm the kind of person that had been getting my sense of worth from the words of encouragement that I got. And I'm a very much of a words person, which you can tell because I'm a talker all the time. But even when I got all those words of encouragement and it was only positive, it still wasn't enough. And I realized that I was really bottomless, that it was never going to be enough, that I would never be able to get enough words to satisfy me. If that night couldn't have done it, then I would never get enough. And I just took that to God, and that was really truly what it was. I just was looking for my sense of okayness from the other people who I had served by doing the event. And as soon as I quit looking for that in the events that I was planning, I was able to plan even much bigger events, much harder, more difficult events, without the sense of needing anybody to be happy with me except for Jesus. I would just do it as my service to Him and love the process no matter what the outcome was. And so now for me, when I say, how do I want to feel at the end of each major day or event, I wrote down that I want to feel happy, exhilarated, and successful. And I don't have to have anybody else's stamp of approval to have that happen for me. All I have to know is that this was what God put in my heart to do, and I did it to the best of my ability with His help. And that's enough for me now. And so when you're looking at this, you know, maybe this isn't your area of weakness and you can't even understand, but maybe it is. And in all of these areas, you may have a different area where you're like, I don't have that problem with the meals and party planning, but I do have that problem with something else. You know, maybe it's the gift giving for somebody that they're like, yeah, I really do get my sense of self-worth, whether somebody likes my gift or not. You don't get to pick that. All you get to do is pick the gift. You don't get to pick whether they're going to love it or not. And so you have to be okay with the part that you have to do instead of with everything else. And once again, with the holiday plans, holiday meals and party hosting, you want to figure out what it is that you need in order to be okay before you launch into doing these things.
That's, you know, that is a major threshold of growth that you're talking about there. That's amazing that you went through that and it took you, you had to get to that point to figure out you were going to be in charge of your own contentment. I love that.
Yeah, and it is that. You have to just say, you know, I can't make everything happen, but I can choose what I'm going to do and how I'm going to respond to it. Yeah.
Right.
It's my number two in this one. Is how do I want those I've been with to feel about me and about the event afterwards? So, like after the Christmas day, how do I want people who have been with me to feel about me and about the day? And I wrote down that I wanted them to feel like I was fun to be with and had time for them. Well, that's a very different answer than I would have had 5 years ago.
Right.
5 years ago, I focused on the food and on the, you know, on the tactile stuff instead of about me, the part that I can do,
right,
that I was enjoying with. And even if they can't appreciate that, I can appreciate that there's a big difference, you know, and I can be okay with that.
Talk a little bit about, you talked this morning about each person that's going to be at your celebration. Lord Geron brought up a good question about pleasing everybody at about their Christmas celebration. And you brought up some great points about how important it is to know what each person is looking forward to on that day and asking yourself if that was you and the one thing that really you loved at Christmas wasn't there, like the gravy you said was missing.
Yeah, right. Right. And this is maybe more for people who are entertaining in a new environment. For those of you who already know your family, this is maybe pretty second nature for you, but let's say you're a new bride entertaining your in-laws for the first time. Well, instead of just launching into your meal the way that you envision that it might be, or maybe you're just clueless as to what you're going to do, you want to get some input from people and ask them, you know, what's your favorite part about the Christmas dinner? Or what's your favorite part about the Christmas Eve tradition? Or what is your Christmas Eve tradition would be a great place to start with that. And then you can go from there. Another thing that that allows you to do is, let's say that the mother-in-law says, my favorite part of Christmas Day is lefse, homemade lefse. Now, a real insecure bride might say, oh my gosh, I have to go out, buy the lefse, learn how to make lefse, to do all this the day before so she can have her need. But I'm just going to empower you to say, no, you don't have to do that. You can say, oh my goodness, I don't even know how to make lefse. Would you be able to bring the lefse? And she would probably just be proud as punch to bring her homemade lefse. And if she isn't, you would still be, have said, honestly, I don't even know how to do that.
Right.
I wonder what else you could do. And let her come up with a solution. again, people have they have ideas about what they like. They have ideas about what they expect. And if we don't at least address the expectations, we're going to have disappointed guests on our hand, and it's just not necessary. Every once in a while, you stumble upon something that you just couldn't have predicted. But a lot of times, the expectations are either about traditions or about particular foods or, you know, the way that you open the gift, which is all, these are all traditions actually. And you do need to just step back a little bit and try to get some help understanding what the expectations of you are. And I know, like for Karen, you're in a new family, you know, recently, and you had to probably do a lot of, you know, digging to find out what's it going to be like? What's Christmas going to look like here?
That's right. It's taken me. I had to ask some very quiet young men what their mother's traditions were. Their mother had died, and I knew that she loved Christmas, so I would talk to them and ask them. And I had to dig around the house. To be honest, I found all her cookbooks and the little recipes she'd written by hand. And so we have some every New Year's. We have something called Crabbies. And it's crab and old English cheese on English muffins and broiled in the oven. And that's their tradition. And they put it in the refrigerator, in the freezer, and they cut it in little squares. And then they cook them and put them, you know, they cook them for the next week or so. But little things like that. And I'd ask. And so this year I'm hoping to do a few new traditions. And I'm having to motivate myself, but being the person responsible. And I realized today, I'm having a little hard time this year as Christmas, getting excited about it. But I realized I'm responsible for so many people's happiness this Christmas. I really don't want to let them down. So I asked God to give me that joy and spur it in my heart, and He has. So I'm finding out, you know, what it is they're looking for and going outside of myself and my comfort zone. Because when you are the hostess, there is responsibility there. And if you don't want to take it, you shouldn't be the hostess.
Yeah. Right. Yep. Or else you should ask for a lot of help. And I think oftentimes we don't ask for enough help. We try to do way too much ourselves. When you go back to the traditions page, when you find out who's invested in each tradition, ask them to help you. And especially as your family gets older, you know, young children anywhere from 9 years old and up can be tremendously helpful if you ask them. And besides it, I mean, that's kind of what the holiday is supposed to be about anyway. It's the togetherness, the doing it, the celebrating of it all together. And so the more you block yourself off and do it all yourself, the less Christmassy you'll feel. You will get it done, but you'll feel maybe often like a martyr, a little bit, you know, exhausted and like, I just wish somebody would have helped me, but you chose that. You mostly chose that. So I just encourage you to step back and look. And honestly, when you look at these holiday meals and party hosting, the number one way that I host parties for myself and a way that I encourage even women's ministries to host parties is to have shared dishes. So that one person does the coordinating of it, but everybody brings something. And sometimes, like in our church, we just had a welcome event recently for the ladies, and we just had the gals who normally come to the church bring the food, and then the gals who were the new gals didn't have to bring anything that time because we were kind of celebrating them, kind of like the birthday person maybe shouldn't have to bring the cake. But you can do these shared kinds of events, shared meals, and definitely during the holidays, if you pay for the entire meal yourself, I mean, some of you are hosting 20, 30 people, paying for it all yourself and doing all the work. If you continue to do that, unless it gives you great joy to do it that way, you should not be doing it that way. I'm just going to encourage you and empower you. Get some help. Require that people bring something. And they will usually feel happy about that. A lot of people, when they go somewhere year after year and they're not allowed to bring something, unless you're obviously enjoying it very much, in which case they can usually take joy in your joy. But if you're looking tired or put out or grumpy or exhausted, or you talk about the money or whatever, and they hadn't been asked to bring something, they must feel bad about that. So do do just be brave and come up with a list. Help, you know, there's some help for you doing that in the boot camp here, so that you can come up with a list of things that you need and then go ahead and divide that out. And one of the things that I suggest, too, is if you're going to have the meal start, you know, shortly after people arrive, maybe you're going to say the meal is going to be served at 2 o'clock, and you know that a particular family is always going to be running late, have them bring the dessert. Don't give them the appetizer. Otherwise, you know, it's going to be 3 o'clock before you're getting going. Either that or else plan that even though you say it's 2 o'clock, it's going to be 2:30, 3 o'clock before you're going. And you can just think ahead about some of these things that would typically stress you out. Just make a plan. Make a plan and do it a little differently so that you don't have to feel that stress.
You know, when someone is allowed to help out, it becomes their Christmas, not your Christmas. And it feels more intimate, and it draws people together. I know Thanksgiving is a big thing for me, and I just recently, in the past few years, was at Thanksgiving where I wasn't allowed to make anything, and it was so hard for me. It felt and unnatural, and I thought, oh, it wasn't the same. So, you know, when you're accomplishing several things when you do that. You're making people feel a part of it and welcomed, and that they're helping you, which, you know, it's harder to receive. If you're a can-do kind of girl, I've learned this from experience, it's very difficult for me to receive. Oh, I'm ready to give. And I had to learn that that was a pride thing for me. So now I have to learn that receiving requires humility.
And yes, absolutely. Yeah.
It can make for a much better celebration when everyone takes part. So I love your children.
Yeah, and your children too. Just remember through the holidays, they want to be, you know, they may kick a fuss a little bit if you have them help at first, but they want to be with you. And when you're just busy, busy, busy for the whole month, running and doing, and they're not part of it, you really can't make up for all that on one evening, you know, Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. They really need to be part of it the whole time. What's fun is if you'll build that in when they're kids. Now, I don't claim to be a perfect mom in any way, shape, or form, but we did try to include them in the plans and preparations during the years. And like tomorrow night now, it's just the date that we're doing this boot camp live is November 29th. But tomorrow night, my son, who's a resident assistant at his college, is going to bring home a bunch of kids. They want to make cookies. So, you know, you develop these times that they remember as being fun, part of Christmas, and they'll come back looking for it later, which is an awfully big payoff for it.
I don't think they remember the $4,000 computer, but they might remember going to look at Christmas lights with hot chocolate, you know.
Yeah, right. It's about time.
That's our memory.
It really is.
So it's the same for them.
Yeah.
Well, we've got 15 minutes, Marnie. The last section here, you've done a great meal planning section for the party, but the last section is on travel. When you're traveling for the holidays, what do you want to share with us about that?
I think the most important thing is to think ahead. So many people, when you're I'm like this person who is very spontaneous. So if you know me as a business owner or as a speaker, a pinch hit speaker, or just as an individual, I'm very spontaneous. But yet I'm juggling a whole lot of balls all the time. So how does that work for me to be spontaneous while I juggle all these balls? And the reason is because I do a lot of forward thinking. I don't just let life hit me day after day after day with surprise after surprise after surprise. Now, there's always going to be things that come up that you could not have foreseen. But most of the things that are going to come down the pike for you, you can really foresee. You can foresee that this is going to come. And so you can either just loll along in your life and then have it slam you. All these things can just hit you and be a surprise, even though you knew they were coming. Be a surprise when they happen. Or else you can think ahead and really make a plan so that you don't have to be surprised by all the things that you could have avoided being surprised about. And so for me, as a pinch hit speaker, I need to be ready to just go. Sometimes in as little as 1 hour, I need to be packed and out the door for a weekend of speaking. So What I have is I have a wardrobe. I have my speaking wardrobe that is ready to go in my closet at all times. If I use something, I right away wash it and get it right back in there so that it's ready to go. But as like packing for my family, what I do with that is the main key is to have everything washed, dried, and put away in the appropriate rooms before you begin packing. Because at this point, you can actually, and I, Karen, I'm going to have you share what you do, but at this point, for me, what I do is I use the bed as my staging zone, and I just put the little outfits, you know, when the kids were little or, you know, now my own, I put my outfits actually out, and I just count days. And so I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, I've got that ready. Now that I have the outfits out, now I get the underwear for each day, I get all the accessories for each day, and then I put that all in the suitcase, and I'm ready to go. It goes very, very quick. Now, the thing that is going to stop you is you want to wear this certain outfit, but where are the whatever? Where is the hose? Where is the skirt? Where is the, you know, all these things are going to slow you down if you don't have them ready in the right place. So that's my number one tip for packing is to have that done. Karen, why don't you just explain to people what you do for the packing?
Well, I did primarily what you're doing. I had a form that I kept in my computer, and I just printed out because for many years I traveled to the Middle East with a family of five, and I had to pack for sometimes 3, 4, 5 weeks for everybody. And so I had a list of all the days. There was a place for every day that we were traveling. The day would have a category. Is it a travel day? What is it, a business day? What is it? Is it a family day? And then for each one I would have everything that would be needed, my lingerie, my suit, my earrings, my necklace, my hose, my shoes, if I needed a coat, I had it written down. And so I would pull all that for each person and pack their bag. Now, you know, I'll tell you something funny. When my first, quote, date with my husband, Ross, he lives in Pittsburgh. I lived in Florida. We courted for 2 years long distance. But on my first trip here, I had a young lady living with me at the time in the house that God had brought. And we were talking as I was packing, and I was distracted. I forgot all my jewelry. And you know that the jewelry ties your wardrobe together, right? So yep. Karen forgot all of her jewelry, and I remembered it as I was landing. I was heartbroken.
Oh, no.
I thought, oh, my dinner, my outfit tonight is not going to work. I don't have that long strand of double pearls to make my shoes match. So I had to stop at Dillard's on the way and get 4 pieces of jewelry, or my whole weekend would have been blown. You know, I've learned to travel that way, and I travel by list, and I do it day by day. But, you know, I think when you have such a when you have to, then being organized is your key to being successful at it. So,
you know, in 2013, I start with a global teleclass training. I think it's next week or the week after on it. And then going into 2013, my main topic is going to be time strategies of Olympians, CEOs, and presidents. And these are the strategies that are used by people whose lives are insane. I mean, you just go, okay, so like, for instance, the president, how do you actually run a country in 24 hours a day? You know, I mean, just think about it. Okay, you know, we all think we're busy, but, you know, he's busy. Now, he is actually busy. So what I did is I collected these strategies that are consistent between these people with insane lifestyles. And the fact is they have the same 24 hours a day we do. They just have to get more organized. They have to be more deliberate about their choices because they just don't have the luxury that we do to be sloppy about our schedules. And so what we're training you and what I like to train people is how to really maximize the minutes. And it's not so that you can get more busy. It's so that you can do the things that are truly important to you. Okay, well, let's go on get back to travel a little bit. I do have included on page 18 here the whole list of things, the personal project list that you want to do before you travel so that nothing surprises you. And most of these things can be done well in advance and should be done well in advance. Right. The last thing you want to do is while you're on the way out the door to port, you go, oh, we forgot a pet sitter, and call all these people on the drive. You know, I mean, you just really want to have these things done in advance so that you can just sit down and enjoy the trip. reason is for bonus travel is that I am settled into my seat on my way and I'm feeling grateful. I don't want to feel like I'm nearly dead or like I hate my spouse or, you know, sick of my kids or that I'm unorganized again this year or whatever. I want to just feel really grateful that I get to go. I want to feel excited that we get to be on the road. We're going, things are taken care of at home. Things are taken care of for us when we get there, and I know what I'm doing.
Right. Right, that matters. It can change your whole trip because it's one thing to be out of sorts at home. It's another thing to be out of sorts in someone else's home.
It really is. It really is. And one of the things that I encourage you to do is if you travel a lot, or even just any time that you travel, but especially if you travel a lot, be sure to do is to take photographs of your credit cards front and back, and just put that in your suitcase and put another one then in your carry-on so that even if one of them is lost, you have everything that you need. If something's stolen out of your purse, you still
That's good.
To take care of it. And that just gives you an extra element, an extra measure of comfort, really, just a safety precaution, just a safety net in case something goes wrong. And there's other things that you can do like that, and those are on the list, yeah.
That's great. Great. Well, Marnie, we're down to 8:54, and I'm going to just let you wrap it up and share what you feel like is on your heart before the night is over.
Sounds good. I think I want to just take a minute and talk about some of the resources that I have for you. Because Karen asked me, you asked me before I agreed to do these boot camps today for Treasured Woman Fellowship. You said, don't you need to charge something for these? And it's like, I charge money all the time for my mentorship program. And we don't have, you know, we don't have thousands of members. I mentor thousands of people, but they're not all paying members. And in fact, since the recession started, we have more scholarships than ever before. We give scholarships to women all over the world, including the United States, who just can't afford the resources but want them. They want to learn, and our members help fund that. And if you are considering being a member, we'd love to have you be a member over at Marnie.com. But on a day like today, I was blessed with the opportunity to share this information with you. And I really exist to encourage women to provide practical help and to turn your thoughts toward Jesus. And that is my heart to do. And that's what I do over at Marnie.com all the time. I do that through my written books and I've written some songs. And that's what I want to do for you. And I don't want to just do it today. I just want to keep doing it in your life. I just want to keep sowing into your life. And there's expenses, of course, that go along with having a ministry like this. And so when you partner back with us financially, that's helpful. And if you can't, we understand. But some of the stuff that's available, we've talked about it a little bit today, was eatingwithgod.com, which is I've lost over 50 pounds now, getting close to 60 mark, getting very slowly now. And I was just not able to do anything about that for 10 years. My weight kept on climbing, and my doctors, the numbers that my doctor was telling me, kept on getting worse. And then a few years ago, God just gave me the process of eating with God, which is just to pause before, during every bite, to just appreciate the ability to take a bite, to recognize that even if it's a bite that isn't healthy, that God gave it to me, and he gave me a choice. And along the way, I started asking him, you know, I started saying thanks for this boy, and thank you for teaching me how to eat. Thank you for teaching me how to eat. And my eating habits have really changed along the way. I didn't think they would when I started eating with God. I figured he would just miraculously shed the pounds, but actually what he did is miraculously changed me. And so the weight is coming off. And I just encourage you during the holidays, if you haven't started doing that yet, just start pausing before or during each bite to just be grateful for the bite. Another thing for the family, healthy family meals, the Kitchen Shortcuts book is really a terrific book. It's been around since 1996. It went into second printing then, and then now it was republished last year. And it's just a great book. It has a lot of entertaining tips in there, as well as strategies for getting meals on the table quick for your family. And then for just general over at Marnie.com, there's ways for you to connect. If you are a Christian woman speaker or you know of a speaker, I host the largest online directory of Christian women speakers in the world, or womenspeakers.com, and that's just a subsite of Marnie.com. And that is a wonderful way where women speakers and event planners connect over there. That's there, as well as if you ever host women's ministry events, we have the site womensevents.info to post your upcoming event there for women's ministry leaders to find and bring their groups, or for individuals to find. And I guess that's kind of what I wanted to share, just lots of good stuff over there. Karen, thank you for the opportunity to share today and to be with you guys. I've had just a blast all day long, and I love what you're doing.
Oh, Marnie, we are so blessed that you were with us today, and so thankful to know you and appreciate so much you sharing and blessing our women with this incredible information. And I just want to pray, may I pray a blessing over you before we go?
Sure. Uh-huh.
Father, we just thank you tonight for bringing us all together, and I thank you for Marnie. Father, I cover her in the blood of Jesus, for her and her family. Ask that you be with her during these holidays. Protect her and guard her. Father God, bless everything she's doing in your name. Bring the right women to her. Open their hearts. Let them know your incredible love for them. And continue to use her to change lives and help people make a better life. We love her at Treasured Woman. We thank you so much for allowing us to know her and to be blessed by her walk with you. And Father God, tonight we thank you for every woman that's been on this call. We ask that you would be with her and her family, and Father, that you would meet her needs, that you would be with her as she sleeps tonight. I pray sweet dreams for everyone, and I thank everyone for coming together tonight and investing their time in this. And Lord, we thank you for just for who you are, for loving us, for saving us, for giving Jesus to us as we celebrate him at this most beautiful time of year. We thank you so much. We ask you to continue to help us walk in you in obedience and faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much, Marnie. We love you and appreciate all you do.
Thanks, Karen, and thanks, everybody, for being here. Hope you have a terrific rest of the night, and the boot camp will be on the day of this recording. The boot camp will be live until midnight, and then it will go away. So if you want to catch those recordings free today,
yeah,
you can do that over there. And if you come tomorrow, it will be $50 again. So just know, if you're listening to the archives, that it was just for this one day that it was free. Thanks for being here. Have a great night. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Everyone, bye-bye.